today's episode of the Retro Asylum Podcast is proudly brought to you by Endangered Mice. For all the latest news and updates on the amazing Starquake remake, please check out www.endangeredmice.co.uk.
Above the streets and houses, rainbow climbing high. Everyone can see it smiling over the sky. Paint the whole world with a rainbow.
Look, George, will you sod off? I'm about to listen to the Retro Asylum.
Welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. This is episode 24, and we're going back to 1985. Joining me is the main man of the show.
It's Andy Godoy.
Hey. How's it going?
Not too bad. And who are you, mate, so our listeners know who you are?
I am, mate. I'm one of the UK's top 10 DJs of all time. I'm Mr. Dean Swain.
How are you, Swainy? You all right?
I'm good. I'm tired.
Yeah, okay. So before we go into what you've been up to, let's quickly tell everyone what we've got planned for today. So basically, we're going to tell you a little bit about what we've been up to and what's been happening. Then we're going to sort of give you some site news. Then after that, we're going to travel back in time to 1985 in our DeLorean. And you'll basically find out what we were like in 1985. What sort of things we got up to, what sort of things we played, what were you all like? And after that, what else have we got? We've got the competition, how you can win the Amiga. We've got the Retro Asylum hotline number. We've got some reviews from 1985, cartoons that became games, movie that became games, TV programs that we loved, music of the week, the best thing that's ever happened to the show, name the game, movies of 1985, topic of the month, wow, it's never ending. And that's it, pretty much.
That's a big show for you.
It is indeed, matey. So, yeah, let's ask these immortal words then, mate. What have you been up to?
I've been working lots and lots. How boring's that? Every time you speak to me, I've been doing a lot of night shifts. So, it's been hard. Plus, I've been working with a guy who, he mumbles. You can't understand a word the guy says. You need subtitles each time he speaks.
Does he sound like the Godfather?
No, he sounds more like Beaker off the Muppets. It's been awful. I'm training him up at the moment.
You're training him?
Yeah, I'm teaching him everything I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know how he got on, because the nights once I was off for the rest of the week, he was doing by himself, and I left him pretty much clueless.
What I want to quickly mention to everyone, Dean, is a lot of the time, me and you record really early, and we record pretty much once you finish your night shifts.
Yes.
So you've had no sleep, and then you record the podcast, which is really amazing, really.
Yeah, and I don't take drugs either, which is really good. I'm just on coffee when I, do the show, mostly. Today we are recording slightly different time. It's nearly 12:30 in the afternoon. Normally we do this about 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that. You know, even I'm surprised I'm so awake when I do it. But I record it for different sort of reasons. I record it because I don't like recording these shows when my wife's around, because she'll always say, can you get me this? Can you get me that? Are you nearly finished?
Yeah. So, well, the reason we are doing it later today is because her indoors has had me washing windows. I've hoovered up. I'm a proper little slave at the moment because, of course, she's pregnant. So I do kind of feel guilty. But it was freezing cold, and she had me out there at 8:30 this morning cleaning bloody windows. Women.
Well, also, so how is, like, your pregnant wife then? How
are you? She's good. She's again, she's starting to moan that she's getting uncomfortable, but she's taking up all the bed space. It's me who's waking up with a bare back, and you can't shove them about as much as you can when they're not pregnant. So yeah, she's doing all right.
Has she got one of those snake pillows?
Yeah, she well, hers, what does she call it? It's not actually like a, it's a wedge.
Yeah.
Like a wedge of cheese that she sticks under her tummy when she lays on her side. So, yeah, it's a bit strange. But, yeah, she's doing well. Not long to go now.
All right, mate. Here, let me quickly tell you a little bit about what I've been up to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of your listeners will know that I had an operation nearly 2 weeks ago now.
Yes, and I saw the pictures of this. It looks bloody horrible.
Yeah, because I went in, I think, a couple of weeks ago on Sunday to have my gallbladder removed. And it was only meant to be like a simple in-and-out procedure, you know. But they asked me to get there at 7 in the morning.
Right.
And they didn't see me till like about 1 o'clock.
Oh, it's nothing like leaving you lying around. Was this with the NHS?
It was indeed. But, you know, in the end, they sort of like put me out. When I woke up, there I was in a hospital bed. And they decided to keep me in. And then they showed me my gallstones. My God, they're like boulders.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. Horrible.
Absolutely horrible. I mean, so at the moment, I'm still a little bit delicate. It's nearly 2 weeks on. And if I stand up for too long, I end up getting really, really tired.
Wow.
But on the plus side, because I've been off for a couple of weeks now from work, I've been doing loads and loads and loads of gaming, mate.
Oh, you lucky sod.
I've been building up my N64 collection.
Yeah, I've seen a few of your what I've received in the post videos.
Yeah, it's like a new series of videos I'm doing. I've been playing Diddy Kong Racing. Absolutely love that game. In many ways, it's better than Mario Kart. What do you reckon of that?
I've never played it, I'm ashamed to say. No, I've never played it.
Great game. What's the other one I've got through the post? ISS 98. My favourite footy game. Not into football games, but it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the series to have, wasn't it, back in the day, before FIFA kind of overtook things.
I've got Wave Race is another one. Don't know if you've played that.
Yeah, I played that on the N64. Great game.
Yeah, you know, it hasn't been bettered since. What was the other one that got? Turok, Dinosaur Hunter.
Oh, yeah, was that the first one?
Yeah, the first one. It's aged a bit, you know. It's kind of hard playing a game like that without analogues now, because I'm so used to playing games on my 360.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty much that's all I've been up to. Looking forward to Play Expo, you know.
Yeah, that's just around the corner. It's this weekend, as we record. So
exactly. So we're recording this on Thursday. This will be up hopefully by Friday. And we'll see you all there at Replay Expo on Saturday and Sunday. Where we'll
certainly looking forward to it. Meeting all our fans, of course. And there will be a red carpet. We don't want you bowing when we arrive, though. Just treat us as normal human beings.
Exactly. You know, we don't want to be treated like the Beatles were back in the day. That's what I'm expecting, don't you reckon?
Well, it's, you know, because this show has taken off really, really, you know, beyond our wildest imaginations. It's becoming a problem when I go out shopping now. I'm getting spotted by fans, you know, and the wife is certainly getting the hump with it, because I didn't realise how many female listeners we had. And they're throwing themselves at me.
Non-stop, mate, non-stop.
All the time, yeah, absolutely.
All right, mate, so let's move on to our next.
This is Matt Denaris. When the modern world is taking its toll on me, I tune into the Retro Asylum podcast.
So, all right then. So the next section is site news. And so, Dean, why don't you tell us what's happening, what's coming up, what's, you know, what's going on?
Well, something that has happened today is that Crazy Taxi has been released on the iPhone. And, you know, normally with iPhone games, we all know the controls are usually crap, and games that are not actually designed to be played on the system, you know, they usually look nice, but when it comes down to the controls, they're just unplayable.
Yeah.
But Crazy Taxi, let me tell you, is really, really playable on the system. I think it might be because of the way the game was designed. You don't have to be spot on with the controls. You know, you could smash about a bit and still get places in the game.
So not, how do you control it, Dean, then?
Well, there's a few different options, but I've only played the touchscreen option, which is the main one. And, yeah, you've got left and right on the left-hand side of the screen, and forward and reverse, and you use reverse as a brake as well. And yeah, I've done really well on the game. Now, I always found Crazy Taxi rather hard on the Dreamcast and on the arcade. And yeah, it plays really well. Not only that, but all the original music is included in this version, which was taken off of the Xbox Live release, I believe, and later releases.
Fantastic.
I don't think it's got, you know, it used to have KFC and Pizza Hut and all that. Yeah, I've got a feeling they're missing. I can't remember seeing them when I... So I've only had a couple of quick goes of it this morning because it literally has just been released. But, yeah, the controls and the music is there. So, yeah, I know it's not strictly old retro, but the Dreamcast is getting on a bit now. I think it's considered as a retro system, and it's a fairly old game, but it plays really well on the iPhone, so check that one out.
I still find that like unbelievable though, because it was, what was it, a 32-bit machine?
It's amazing really that I think we mentioned this the other week. I was looking at my phone again this morning, and I'm thinking, you know, this was a state-of-the-art game not that long ago, really, maybe 10 years ago, and it is still an impressive-looking game.
Yeah, but I used to play that where I used to work. So I used to work at Sega World, that used to be in the Trocadero.
Yeah.
And when it first came out, it was there, and I used to love that game, especially for the soundtrack.
I think what you've got to do is also is look at the games that you probably were playing on your mobile back in the day when this was released, and it was probably Snake on a Nokia phone, you know, and how technology has come on. Amazing.
All right, then. So how much does that game cost then, Dean?
That was $2.99.
Complete bargain. As soon as we've done this podcast, I'm definitely going to download that. And
yeah, it's a fun game still. Plays really well. You know, really impressed because, like I say, half the time these games, they don't play too good.
Yeah. Now, my next bit of news and announcement isn't a game. I completely forgot about this earlier and I thought I'd mention it now. We've got two sponsors for this month and next month's episode.
Yeah, this is pretty big news for us, I guess.
Yeah, because to be honest with you, I mean, this show basically slowly started costing me more and more and more and more cash to actually, you know, to run, basically.
Well, it's mainly because, yeah, we're becoming so much more popular that the downloads are increasing an awful lot, aren't they? So,
yeah, I've had to go into the highest sort of package that they've got, which is basically gives me 2 terabytes download.
Yeah.
And we were sort of like passing the old one by miles. And luckily, Damien, a.k.a. Endanger Mice, stepped in, made a kind donation, so he's basically paid for this month's hosting fees. And also Darren from the forum moderator stepped in as well, and he's paid for next month. So wow,
yeah, thanks guys, because you know, we love making the show. Unfortunately, I'm not in the position at the moment to help fund the show, and obviously Andy's expecting a baby too, so you know, money's a bit tight, but yeah, we really do appreciate it.
No, completely and totally. And if anyone does feel that little urge to sort of like give us a small donation, if you go to the site retroasylum.com, you'll find a little PayPal thing there. You know, just donate what you can, whatever. If you find some money behind the sofa, pop that in, we'll be more than happy. Every little bit helps.
Yeah, it all helps. And like I say, we enjoy making the show, and hopefully if you're enjoying listening to it, we're not asking for loads, but you know, a couple of quid here and there, it all helps.
Right then, Dean, so what is the next bit of site news you've got for us then, mate?
Well, the next bit of site news, and I've actually known about this for a little while, but I totally forgot about it. Dragon Ninja, Bad Dudes. Remember that arcade game?
Loved it.
Well, there is actually a team. I think they started off on one of these Kickstarter projects to get this going. They're making a sequel, and it's an official sequel. They've bought the rights.
Oh, they've actually bought them?
They've actually bought the rights, yeah. So this is in the works. the piece of news this week is that their graphic artist has had to quit because, yeah, it's a shame because he was doing the graphical work on the game, but he's not getting paid for it at the moment until the game goes on sale. And I believe it's being released first on the PC, and if they make enough money, you know, it'll be released on the Xbox and PS3 also. So, yeah, he's had to quit because his wife has been made redundant. So he's got to go out and get himself a proper job.
Yeah.
So, yeah, quite sad news. But as far as I know, you know, a lot of the graphical work has been completed, but they're looking for someone new.
Yeah.
So any graphic experts out there who might want to help out on this project, get in contact with the guys. I haven't got any of their contact details, but if you Google Dragon Ninja 2,
yeah,
Bad Dudes, you know, you'll get the site come up, yeah, and we'll provide a link. Yeah, the
podcast goes up. How come, you know, you don't put your hands up and, you know, you help them finish that game off then, Dean?
If I had the time, I would love to, because yeah, it's one of those games that it was around the time when I was playing arcade games.
Yeah.
It's not the best arcade game out there, but it is fairly playable. I remember having some good times with a few friends on that. So, yeah, I would have liked to have helped out, but, yeah, the time, you know, with doing the podcast, I'm doing the knowledge, as you know, and 12-hour shifts and kids on the way. I don't want to start something that I can't finish.
Yeah, so that's completely understandable. I mean, the original arcade game, I used to love it. I think I used to play that when RoboCop the arcade came out as well.
Yeah, and we all remember what they used to say at the end of a level: I'm bad.
But there was differences between the American version and the UK version, because over there it was called Bad Dudes, was it?
Yeah, and over here I think it was just called Dragon Ninja, wasn't it? And when it released, it was Dragon Ninja versus Bad Dudes when it's converted to the home consoles and computers.
All right then, so let's quickly tell you the next bit of site news. The next bit of site news is Knights has finally come out on Xbox Live Arcade. It's about 1,200 Microsoft points, and I tell you what, if you've ever played the original game, which came out on the Saturn, then you're going to absolutely love this game because it's been HD'd up, I think.
Oh, right. I've never actually played it.
It's an interesting little game. It's kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It's more of an experience as you sort of like fly around, collecting things, floating through things. It's a visually amazing game, and it's still regarded as one of the best games ever released on any system, really.
Yeah, it's, well, I've got to admit, I've seen loads on it, but I've never, ever given it a try. I should make some time and give it a bash.
Yeah, I mean, so I haven't really played loads of it. I might download it, actually, depending on how I'm doing financially.
Yeah.
Since I'm going to replay, I want to have a little bit of money spent down there. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, guys, check out Knights. If you haven't checked it out before, give it a go. You got any more site news or anything, Dean?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
All right, then. So I think that's pretty much site news and announcements. Oh, no, we've got a few more announcements before I forget. Guys, before we travel back in time to 1985... I've got a few more things that I'd like to announce. I've got the Amiga 500 that you can still win.
Oh, yes, of course.
Now, you can do this a number of different ways. You can email me at therulelocalmaniac@googlemail.com. Tell us why you like the show. Or you can make a little video on YouTube linking it to us. Or the way I prefer is just simply leave us an iTunes review. And you've done that. We'll pop your name into a hat. And then we will reveal the winner for episode 25, which is, when's that, Dean? I said that earlier.
It's the 26th of October.
So yeah, not only are we celebrating our 1 year birthday, you know, the Retro Asylum, we'll also be giving you guys an Amiga 500. Now, I have to state that we can only give this to people that are in the UK, otherwise it's going to cost me a fortune to post abroad.
Yeah, because it's a heavy lump, isn't it, to send out.
It is, yeah. So, yeah, guys, if you haven't already, leave us an iTunes review and you could be in with a chance to win an Amiga.
Yeah, and I'll just say quickly that once the Amiga has been given away, we've got another top prize coming up. I won't say anything more, but keep listening because, you know, this is even better than the Amiga.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, again, it was kindly donated by you, you know.
Yeah, I've been very lucky. I've had... No, these have actually been donated to me, so don't think I'm giving away my entire collection, because I'm not that nice.
I think that you're burgling places now just to get these things.
Well, you know, I am a bit of a tea leaf, but more about that later.
All right, so we've got the Retro Asylum hotline number. It's up next.
Cool. Right, do you want me to read that out in my lovely dulcet tone?
Yeah, before we do that, let's quickly explain what the hotline number is. Do you want to tell me what it is?
Right, well, what it is, and I sound like Glenn because I'm repeating myself. guys, basically, we have a question every fortnight, and it's basically our way of getting you to interact with the show. Your voice will be aired on the show. So, yeah, you give the number a call. You'll hear Andy read out a question. You let us know the answer to that question, and we'll play it out on the show.
Right, so let me quickly tell everyone, this question will come out this Sunday. So this podcast comes out on Friday. The new questions come out every other Sunday. So in the meantime, Dean, what is that number?
0208-123-7086. That's 0208-123-7086.
Fantastic. And what I'll do now, guys, I'll play the messages from last time. So sit back and enjoy, and thank you, guys.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Retro Asylum Hotline. Now, today's question, which will be featured on episode 24, will be, what was your favorite game from 1985? So it has to be a game that came out exactly that year. And tell us why you liked it. Try and keep your message between 1-2 minutes. Thanks very much for listening. See you guys then. Goodbye.
Hello, this is Mark 1976 on the Retro System. And the game I'm going to pick is Ye Ar Kung Fu. That came out in 1985 on the arcade. And while it wasn't the first ever one-on-one fighting game, it was definitely the first that had more playability to it than Data East Karate Champ, which came out just before that. And it's still a game I play a lot to this day. I played it a hell of a lot on the arcade, and I have it on Xbox Live. Anyway, thanks.
Hello, this is Darren from the Retro Asylum Forums. My favourite game from 1985, I'd say Narrow Jump 2. Either say it's Dummy Run or Funky Goes to Hollywood, both released on Spectrum. I think everyone knows how it's Dummy Run. You basically play a little kid stuck in a shopping centre, trying to find a way out. It combines elements of platforming with puzzles. What's going on about it? It's the second game that I ever played on the Spectrum, and it's probably why I love gaming to this day. Second game is Funky Goes to Hollywood. A little bit more left field, this one. I think this game was very ahead of its time. You basically play a humanoid trying to become human by completing a series of mini-games. Very bizarre mix of humour and challenge. You'd be walking around the house in a state 1 minute before finding yourself in a Tron-like maze being chased by fireballs. Then suddenly you find yourself as a Reagan head fighting a Gorbachev head in a spitting match. So yeah, very ahead of its time. I think the closest game to that today would probably be Mario Party. Anyway, that's my little bit. I'll catch you soon. Cheers.
Right, guys. So we've done all that. Now, this is what the main show is going to all be about now. Me and Dean are going to sit down in that DeLorean and we're going to travel back in time to 1985.
Let's go.
Right, so here we are in 1985, Dean. So what I want to find out from you, Dean, is how old were you in 1985 and what sort of kid were you, really?
Right, okay, 1985. I am 10 years old at this point in time. What was I like? I was quite a nice kid, I think. my teachers might tell you otherwise. basically, I was living on a rough council estate at this stage in my life in Hackney, East London. So, yeah, I guess I was a bit rough around the edges, so no change there. Yeah. I went to a school called St. John of Jerusalem, a Church of England school. As you can imagine, in Hackney, it was a mix of all cultures and races. Yeah, I guess at the time, I used to get told I looked like Zamo out of Grange Hill. So if you imagine a little Zamo running around, I wasn't taking any drugs because I'm squeaky clean Dean. Oh, I wouldn't do those sort of things. But yeah, I was into my gaming, definitely into my gaming. by that point, I'd been given an Atari 2600. But before that, the gaming that I used to do was all these little handheld devices that you used to get back then. GCL, Galaxy Invader, I think it was called, which was cream and burgundy, I think.
Right.
You know, those little Space Invader clones and Nintendo Game & Watch games. So, yeah, before I even picked up the Atari 2600, those were the sort of things that I would have been playing around that time.
All right, so, like, okay, you mentioned something about your little past, you know, a bit of a tea leaf. Explain that then, mate.
Right, okay. There was, over in Hackney, there's a little area known as Homerton. And there used to be, I think it's still there actually, it was a W.H. Smith's like little warehouse. And there used to be a big bin, it was like a massive skip, quite high up.
Right.
And they used to stick all of like the previous month's magazines into this thing to be incinerated.
Yeah.
And from Homerton Station, if you was up on the platform, you could see in and see what was in there, basically.
Right.
And me and my mates, we were there one day, because, you know, times were different. As a 10-year-old, I was allowed to go out quite far and what have you. And we was peering in, we could see these Spectrum magazines. It was Your Spectrum, which later became Your Sinclair.
Yeah.
So, yeah. My mates have dared me to climb into the thing, which I did, and I must have got about, I don't know, maybe 90 issues of this magazine. You know, they're all wrapped up, I've chucked them over, managed to climb out, I've had a security guard chase me, and then we sold them all in school.
Did you? Yeah. How much did you make back in the day?
We were selling them for about 50p each, so times 90, what's that work out to? Some crap at maths.
Oh, that's bad.
Whatever that works out to.
For a
10-year-old. So yeah, I've done quite well, but yes, that's the sort of silly thing that I've done. You know, it's crazy, really. Because if I've been captured,
What were your favourite games then as a 10-year-old? What did you used to play back in the day when you were 10?
Like I say, before the 2600, which I did actually get, I'm pretty sure I got that in 1985 at some point, because I remember I went out and bought Ghostbusters
for the
2600, and that was definitely released in 1985. It's released in 84 on the Commodore. But 85 on the 2600. Like I said, Galaxy Invader, I think it was called, by GCL.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Grandstands, I can't remember what it was called. It was on the front of Retro Gamer magazine a couple of issues ago.
What was that, the Astro Wars?
Yeah. I had that. Loads of these different things. I had a Nintendo Game & Watch pinball, and I've still got it, and it's still boxed, and it's in really good condition.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a website that has all these as playable games. You can play them on screen.
Yeah, I should take a look at these, but I've got to admit, I don't think with those sort of things you can't beat the actual hardware.
Mm.
You know, because it's just the physical thing, actually seeing the game and, you know, holding it. Don't get me wrong, if you look at these now, they're very primitive. But back in the day, you know, before Game Boy was released in 89, these were the best handheld, you know, things around. And for a lot of people, you know, didn't have a proper console or computer at the time, these were, you know, state-of-the-art and, you know, just great, great games. So
what else did you do then, Dean, as a 10-year-old? I mean, I don't know, were you too old to play with toys? What sort of things did you watch in TV and so on?
No. I was, as much as I was a little thief and I was out, you know, with my little gang and what have you, I was heavily into Transformers, which hit the UK in 85, really, especially the cartoon. He-Man. As gay as he is, you know, I remember rushing home from school. And that used to be on. I remember what time it was on. It was on a Monday afternoon at 4:20 on ITV.
Mm-hmm.
And before He-Man was on, the Moomins used to be on.
The Moomins, wow.
I hated the Moomins. I just wanted to watch He-Man, and the Moomins was just time wasted, and it was such a weird program. And, I couldn't stand it. So, yeah, I used to look forward to He-Man. Like I say, Transformers, but that was on Whack-A-Day with Timmy Mallett, and they used to show one episode. It was like a five-minute section of an episode over a space of a week.
Yeah.
And I remember watching one, and they've reshown yesterday's episode by mistake.
No.
And then, it got to the Friday, and they'd missed a chunk of it out.
No.
Yeah, that was the sort of ups they'd make back in the day.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Obviously, Grange Hill, Press Gang, that might have been slightly after 85.
Well, I wanted to ask you then, in the 80s, where did you see, I mean, I'll answer these things as well when it's my turn, but where did you see gaming going in 1985? Did you actually ever sort of envision that we would be able to play these things on a phone or have like these amazing handhelds or graphics?
Not at all, because like I said, I had these handheld devices and, you know, they were okay, but at the time you think they're state of the art. I had the 2600 and my friend had a Spectrum 48K.
Yeah.
And I remember this would have been late 85. One of my friends kept telling me he was going to get this new Spectrum that was coming out.
Yeah.
And, you know, we was all saying, well, will they stop the colour clash? And, you know, and it turned out they didn't. It was the Spectrum 128K which came out in quite late 86, but he had been reading about it in these magazines, because he was, you remember the magazines back in the day, they wasn't like the late 80s Spectrum mags. There was lots and lots of program listings.
Yep.
Now everyone thought I was going to become a programmer, you know, a lot of my mates did. And he kept telling me about this, you know, Super Spectrum. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be the 128K Spectrum, which really had a better sound chip and a bit more memory.
Yeah.
So, no, at the time, there was no way you could see what was going to eventually happen. You could see the arcade games that were around at the time, and they were graphically superior to what you had at home. So
yeah.
I guess that was as much into the future as you could see. You hoped that computers would become as good as the arcade games.
No, completely. Let me tell you a little bit about like what I was like, I think, in the early 80s. I'm a little bit younger than you, so I think I must have been about 8 years old. And I think I had just moved over from Scotland to London. And I grew up in London, in South London, near Brixton.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the nicest area then. I think that's when the riots and stuff just happened. Yep. But me being young, I don't think I was actually aware of why it happened or why it was going on. Sure. I just remember seeing it in the news and thinking, I'm just down the corner from there. But I never actually saw any of it going on. And, I mean, I was a quiet kid, really. I was really geeky, like the way I am now. But I was always fascinated with games and toys. I think the first system, like I mentioned before, that I had was like some sort of Pong machine.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably before 85. I'm trying to think what I might have had. It was probably an Atari Junior that I had around 85. And I used to love it. It was a great little machine, you know?
Yeah. Did you have any of the handheld stuff that was out around that time, like a Tomytronics 3D thing or...?
Well, I don't think I personally owned. I think the only one I had was Snoopy Tennis.
Yeah.
I think that might have come out a few years afterwards. But my cousin Alex, he's the one who had all the more modern stuff. I mean, because he was quite a few years older than me.
Yeah.
And I used to get given all his hand-me-downs, like his Amstrad and so on. But he had this Astro Wars, and I loved that machine. And that's what I loved about Retro Gamer. I saw this, and I was like, oh, my God, my cousin Alex had one of those.
Yeah.
And what it was like a Space Invaders game, and it was like a little arcade machine.
Right, yeah. Most of the games were clones of either Space Invaders or Scramble.
Mm.
But, they suited those sort of, like you say, those like little miniature arcade cabinets,
in a way. It was full colour and everything as well, that Astro Wars.
Yeah.
Absolutely full colour. All you could do is move left and right. It had like a little metal stick.
That's right.
Left and right, and then I think there's a little button that you press to shoot, but really limited. But I remember playing it for hours.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing which I should have mentioned, and I know I chat about this every episode, but in 85, that would have been the year I first played on a Vectrex. And
I thought you were going to say that was the first year you got your first girlfriend and first kiss.
No, I wasn't that lucky. There was lots of crushes. I had a crush on a girl. It's really weird. They stuck me next to her. Simply because her name was Slipper and my name was Swain. Janine Slipper. Her dad owned
Slipper.
Janine Slipper. I wish. She was gorgeous, and her dad owned a pet shop in Well Street Market in Hackney. And Janine, if you ever hear this, I'm so embarrassed. But I would have done anything for that girl, I think, back then. Absolutely ridiculous. But it's strange. You do. You have your first little crush. Who was your first crush?
Well, back in the 80s, I don't know. I'm trying to think. It was probably from some sort of TV show. I'm trying to think of what sort. It was probably someone from Grange Hill. Who was in Grange Hill around that time?
Justine, little brown hair girl, Zamo's girlfriends.
Not her.
You had Susan Tully, who was as rough as anything.
She was indeed.
She later became Michelle in East. Oh, she wouldn't have been in it in 85, would she? Because it was a certain program launched in 1985.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know, was Supergirl out in 1985 or was that a few years afterwards? I used to quite fancy the girl from Supergirl.
I'm not too sure.
I know Supergirl came out in 1985.
Maybe that's how you're getting mixed up.
I don't remember. Maybe I was too innocent, really.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I was only 8 and I think I was more into my games. I'll go back to that in a bit. But the other machine, Dean, I don't know if you're aware, and I need to know the name of this game, is you're a little caveman and you've got I think the machine itself was sort of yellowish. And the whole idea is you've got to sort of move from left to right. There's a big dinosaur that breathes fire and you've got to try and get the eggs that it lays and then take it all the way back to the left of the screen.
Oh, I do remember the game, but I can't remember the name. Oh, dear.
It's a great little game.
Yeah.
I'm trying to picture it in my head, and if memory serves me right, that was in colour as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know what it was called. It's something we'll have to look up and get back to.
Only the heroic Autobots can save Earth. Sideswipe, Grapple, Ratchet, Jazz, a whole army.
Evil Decepticons! Autobots, transform!
The Transformers, robots in disguise.
The evil Decepticons must be stopped by the heroic Autobots. The battle goes on. Robots in disguise.
Yeah, right, Dean. So what we're going to do now, we're going to review a game that came out in 1985 that Dean likes and that I like. So go on, Dean, you can go first. What was this game that you liked?
It was Road Blasters on the arcade. Atari made a lot of games back then, and I don't know, they always had a different feel to the Japanese games because they was American based, and I'd already been a fan of Spy Hunter, and this took it into a 3D element. And it's just a nice game to have a quick blast on. Although it was a driving game, there wasn't much actual, it's not like a racing game or you don't have to take too much care on the road. It's just twists and the speed of it was really nice, but you had jets that flew over and dropped weapons onto the vehicle, and it just felt like a newer version of Spy Hunter in a way.
You know what, I'd never seen the similarity of it, but you're right, it is pretty much pseudo 3D
it's more of a shoot 'em up than Spy Hunter was in a way, because obviously you don't get to change vehicles, but have you actually ever played the arcade machine?
I've only played it via MAME. I've never saw
on the actual cabinet. It had quite a futuristic steering wheel, and I think it must have just captured my imagination because it was around the time, you know, when Knight Rider was quite popular. Right. And we mentioned Knight Rider in the last main episode. So, yeah, I probably, you know, related to it in that way, as well as the Spy Hunter feel to it. But, yeah, just, I don't know, it's not a game that you can spend hours on. You know, you play a few rounds. It's an okay game. It's not great, but, yeah, it was okay.
What did you conversions of it then, Dean?
I actually enjoyed the Spectrum conversion.
Remember, it's very monochrome.
It was very monochrome, but... You know, the game still played well. So, yeah, I was quite happy with it. The 128K version I thought was quite nice. The 48K version was stripped down quite a
really?
Bit.
Like, stripped down in what way?
I think there was a smaller playing area. You know, it was multi-loads. Obviously, there was no music. Yeah, it just didn't feel as nice because I remember when I got my 128K machine, obviously this isn't in 1985, a couple of years on. I think it was 87. Yeah, my friend had a 48K machine and we used to compare versions, and it was when the 48K really started showing its age, I think, around that time.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, your machine's age. All right, let me quickly tell you a little bit about the game that I want to talk about, and that game was Gauntlet.
Okay.
Now, again, the reason why this game struck me in the arcades were most games at the time were one or two players, but this game was a massive four player. You know, it was unbelievable that you could get four of your friends, well, three of your friends together with yourself and actually play different characters. And although looking at it now, it's very, very basic. It's a 2D maze game where you can play as a wizard, barbarian, or I don't know what the other character was, a woman.
Yeah.
you each sort of like, you go around this maze, you can shoot things, collect potions, collect keys. But for me, I don't know if I've mentioned this in a podcast before, but this predates certain games like Left 4 Dead because it really used to terrify me playing this back in the day, Dean.
Yeah, I think maybe, yeah, it was one of the... Atari arcade games always had a different feel, and again, this was by Atari, but it was the speech that used to get me. Player one is about to die, and, you know, it was a great game as long as there's a few of you. I think one player, it was as dull as Ditchwell one.
Yeah, now one player, even to this day, I can't get into, but four players...
Yeah, you can have a giggle on it, definitely.
But you need to really play it as a team. Because I remember playing with my friends, and my friends would basically collect all my health or anything that I needed. They'd run off somewhere else, and I'd be like, no, you need to be backing up. And because the way, I don't know, I'm a bit of a control freak in a certain way. I'd always say, okay, I get all the ones from the top, you guys go for the ones on the left, you guys go for the one on the right, and you get anything that's going from underneath us.
Yeah.
But people kept on breaking that strategy. And it was just amazing. You know, there were shortcuts to get to certain levels you could activate and so on. And it was a great little game, and I love the home conversions.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favourite conversions is on the ZX Spectrum. At the time, I felt it was very, very similar, you know, but I think it's as great as it could be for, you know, what we had.
Yeah, it was a nice conversion. I think that was done by Gremlin Graphics for US Gold. Gauntlet was a major, major hit in the arcades, and it was probably one of the first big multiplayer games. I've got fond memories of it, but as you rightly pointed out, playing with people who done everything for themselves, it led to a very short game and it could be very frustrating.
Yeah. All right, so I think that's me rounded up with the review section then, Dean.
Everybody, this is Damien, and you're listening to Retro Asylum, the best retro gaming podcast.
Ok, you want to talk about the next section, which is cartoons that became games?
Cartoons that became games. God, I'm doing Glenn again. Right.
All right, so they could have been cartoons that we watched as kids in the 1985. They don't necessarily have to have been made in 1985.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just cartoons that became games. Now, you mentioned, I don't know, what else did you mention?
There was He-Man, that became a game.
All right, let's talk about some of those then. What did you think of He-Man as a computer game? I don't remember playing it.
It was crap. It was crap, yeah. See, I'm trying to think now if there was a version of the He-Man movie. It was done as a game. That was by Gremlin Graphics. Again, I think we're looking about 1987 when that came out. Maybe later, maybe 88. Yeah, it wasn't too good. I barely remember it, to be honest, but I remember it being rubbish.
What about Transformers then?
Transformers. Now, Ocean done a game, and it was set on Cybertron, although you had your Earth modes. It was done by Denton Designs, who'd done some really good games. You know, they went on to do Where Time Stood Still.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, and The Great Escape. I think they'd done Gift from the Gods and, you know, stuff like that around the time. Mm. But, yeah, it was a pretty weak game. It was a platformer, sort of set on Cybertron. You could transform. You could fly to an extent. Mm. It was a shoot-em-up come platformer, but it was very, very hard.
Very, very basic graphics, I remember.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like the graphics from Manic Miner, but not as good.
Yeah, it was fairly monochrome, apart from the laser effects and explosions. And it just felt like it was a massive, massive rush job, which it probably was.
What did you feel playing this game then? Because it was one of your favourite TV shows from the 80s that you grew up watching.
Yeah, you could smell cash in, even at that early age. Yeah, it just felt, you know, it was rushed. And it's strange because going back to the tea leafing, I remember a friend broke into a car.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and he found a load of computer games. And in the back, there was a Commodore Transformers game.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to load it up because, you know, none of us could afford a Commodore back then.
Yeah.
Everyone on who had Spectrums. But it was a totally different kind of game. It had been released by Activision.
Yeah.
And it was more of an arcadey adventure game. And that looked a lot better at the time. I've looked at it since on YouTube and it looks awful. So, you know, this is where the old folklore of movie conversions and cartoon games being converted into games, you know, they just didn't work too well.
I don't think there's many good cartoons from the early 80s that worked well to be good games, really. I think maybe the early 90s cartoons, by then technology had sort of gotten a little bit better, but we'll talk about that when we do the 1990 show.
So it's fairly disappointing.
All right then, why don't we talk about movies from 1985 that eventually became games then, Dean?
Right, okay. Let's have a look.
All right, I'll tell you what, while you have a look, Dean, let me quickly tell you what one of the games that I used to play. Now, the game that I want to talk about is Back to the Future. Now, this came out, I think, slightly after 85, but the film came out in 1985. Yeah, so Back to the Future, I can't remember who made this game, but I loved it because I was such a huge fan of the movie. And it's a weird sort of game that you actually play because it's not a platform game. It's, you know, it scrolls left and right. You play Marty McFly, and you've got to go into different buildings by moving left and right, and you've got to try and find Lorraine and your dad, and you've got to try and get them together while trying to avoid Biff. And at the time, I really felt it was a good conversion of a film. I really thought it was a good tie-in. Have you played it at all, Dean?
No, I never have played the first one. I played the sequels.
Oh, no, the sequels are terrible, I found, but this one really felt more like they put a lot more time and effort. It kind of felt like School Days.
In that respect.
It was that sort of game. Really set on one level. You couldn't go upstairs or anything.
No.
It's not a bad little game. So what game would you have chosen then, Dean?
It's got to be Rambo First Blood Part 2, which was by Ocean Software.
Right.
Back in the day, I guess I wasn't really playing too many film to game licenses because they were still quite rare back then. I mean, you had Ghostbusters, which I probably should have chose, but I'm going to go with Rambo because I always liked the loading screen, although it looked like Rambo had melted. But because at the time in 85, I didn't actually have a Spectrum. My friend did, and he was heavily into this game, so I was playing it quite a bit just because that's all he'd load up a lot of the time. It's basically a Commando clone, which again I think was probably released in 85 as well. So these games were going against each other. It wasn't as good as Commando, as good as the arcade game or the conversions, but it's just a game that sticks in my head. Lots of trees against a black background. It wasn't a great game. In fact, it's probably quite crap. I've not played it in a very long time, but that's pretty much it, really.
From what I remember, though, the C64 version was a lot better.
Yeah.
And the Spectrum version paled in comparison because the Spectrum version was nowhere near as colourful as the C64. From what I remember, the Spectrum version was just pure black with a number of different coloured sprites and a couple of, there was like a few trees placed here and there. So it looked really empty, as opposed to the C64 version where it looked more like you were in a certain location.
I remember it being very black and green, and a friend of mine had the Amstrad version, which differed quite a bit and was even worse, I thought. But
all right then, mate, so we'll round up that section up then.
Thanks very much anyway. Goodbye.
Townsend.
Hello. You know the Hornby Double Model Railway?
Yeah.
Do you have an R186 signal box?
Well, let's see. Yes, I got one left.
Great! They've got one, Mum.
Good old Yellow Pages. We're not just there for the nasty things in life, like a blocked drain or a broken window. We can help with the fun things, too.
Happy birthday, Dad.
Okay, the next section is Music of the Week. Now, again, Dean's got to pick a choice from a game that came out from 1985.
And the choice is Ghost and Goblins.
Right, so before we go on to the actual music, why don't you tell us why you've chosen this game then? And on what system, by the way?
Arcade. Arcade,
right.
Yeah, it's because we used to play this in George's fish and chip shop in Well Street Market. He had a couple of games in there, and Ghost and Goblins, I think the sound was up louder. And I don't know, it's just one of those tunes that sticks into my head. You know, I can always remember the tune. Whereas, there's some arcade games, I can't remember what the music was like at all. So it's just memorable. It's a decent arcade track. You know, back in 85, a lot of the music on arcade games was still fairly basic. But, this, I think, sounded really nice.
All right then, guys. So before I play this track, for next episode, which will be episode 25, which will be the next full episode, I want you guys to sort of, like, give us some suggestions of what game, what music you want us to play. And if you go to the forum, leave your suggestions there, and we'll play them on the episodes. All right then, mate, so let's listen to this track you've chosen. Now, the next section of the podcast is movies that we used to watch in the 1980s. So we're going to read off a few then. Give us five movies then that you used to like back in the days, back in 1985.
Five movies. First one's got to be The Goonies.
Oh, did that come out in 1985?
That came out in 1985. Great, great film. And that's still very watchable today, I think.
All right, so let me quickly look for one. Okay, I've got one for you. Friday the 13th, A New Beginning.
A New Beginning. Do you know, I've never watched any of those films. Again, this horror. I'm just not into horror stuff.
Now, I used to love my horror ever since I was a little kid. I don't know what it was. I grew up watching sort of like the old black and white Dracula films with Bela Lugosi and Lon Chaney Jr. as the Wolfman. So I've always been into horror. And because I'm the youngest one out of seven kids, my brothers are a lot older than me.
Yeah.
And they used to be teenagers in the late teens when, you know, when I was 8 years old, basically. So they used to watch horror films and I used to sort of sneak in and watch it. So yeah, I'd say Friday the 13th, for New Beginning.
Mm, yeah. Maybe I'll have to watch some of these horror films one day. Try and get into them.
check him out. Go on, give us another choice then.
The Jewel of the Nile. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner and Danny DeVito. Yeah, when she's attractive and turned into a man. great film.
Right. I've got one as well, which is, I still love it to this day, mate.
Go on.
American Ninja came out in 1985.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
I've never seen it.
Dude, you have to watch this film. I always wished they did a game. I'll get into that in a little bit. Now, basically, American Ninja sees Michael Dudikoff, I think his name was, playing like a guy who gets sent to the army.
Right.
And he basically gets attacked by the sergeant who's bullying him, and then he beats the crap out of the sergeant. But later along the line, they become friends. And then the army base, I can't remember where the base, gets attacked by all these ninjas.
Like it would in 1985.
And it turns out that this character, his character, I think is Joe, is actually a ninja. He's an American ninja. And it's so cheesy, but it's fantastic.
Oh, dear, it sounds great. Must watch that.
Well, it is. It's superb. And it's one of the reasons why that got me into ninjas. And it's one of the reasons why I love the Last Ninja series on the computer games.
Right, yeah.
Because it made me feel like I was a ninja.
It's funny you say that. I got a story from the 80s. It's not 1985, but there was a kid who I knew called Colin Dyer. And he used to dress up as a ninja. And I'm walking through the estate one morning.
He used to dress up as a ninja all the time.
Seriously, this kid thought he was a ninja. I remember him saying to me that he reckons he could do the dragon punch from Street Fighter, but this was later on in life.
Well,
and I'm walking through the estate, and he used to get these big dustbins, you know, that everyone used to tip their rubbish into.
Yeah.
And I'm walking along, and he jumped out, dressed as a ninja, and tried attacking me, and I started laughing at him. But
oh my god!
Strange. I guess he had been watching that film as well, I guess.
All right, so what's your next choice of film
then? Next choice, it's got to be Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah, one of my favourite films ever, man.
Mm.
It's absolutely fantastic, that film. What was it that drew you towards it?
It had everything, didn't it? It had a decent soundtrack, great story, good special effects. Yeah, it's just it's another magical, enjoyable film.
Do you reckon what stopped a lot of these films being converted into good games was the lack of technology?
Possibly, yeah. And, you know, because something makes a good film doesn't necessarily mean it's going to make a good game. You know, what's Michael J. Fox doing in the film? He's going backwards and forwards, you know, trying to fix puzzles, really, and make certain events happen at the right time and, you know, make sure his mum and dad get together. I think it's just some things are very hard to translate into a game. Especially, like you say, the limit on technology at the time as well.
That's why I reckon you should play the ZX Spectrum version of Back to the Future, the game, because I think for its limitations, it really did do a lot compared to what a lot of movie tie-ins were, you know, at the time, really.
Mm. Yeah, I'll have to give it a try. Strange that I didn't play it because, you know, I really enjoyed the film.
Hello, this is Potty Boy, and you're listening to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum.
All right, so, okay, the next section is, it's TV programs that we loved that came out in 1985.
First Class.
Right, Dean, now, why don't you tell everyone that doesn't know what First Class is all about?
It's, it was a general knowledge sort of show, and instead of, I don't know if you remember, Bamber Gascoigne's University Challenge, which that had like teenagers on it who were in university, obviously. This was all school kids, and a part of the show was they had to play certain arcade games, usually stuff by Atari and a few other publishers. 720 was on there quite a bit when they had to play that. Paperboy.
Were these the actual arcade games?
Yeah, they were the actual arcade games. Track and Field.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, you'd be answering a load of questions, and then it goes for this round where you had to play an arcade game, and a lot of the time this was the first glimpse of these arcade games, you know, on TV, and, yeah, it just made those games very popular.
I mean, that was the whole reason why I used to watch that show, Dean. I don't think I remember watching any other parts. I used to just wait for them to go into the computer games, and I used to love watching them do track and field. And, you know, it's just, I think they used to do a bit where they used to jump on that horse thing and do a few little spins.
That's right, yeah. Also, the host of the show, I'm trying to remember her name.
Debbie Greenwood?
Or? That's it, Debbie Greenwood. She was quite attractive, so, yeah.
She had 1980s hair.
She had big afro hair, yeah. Yeah, it is a good show, and it, like I say, it's quite a good opportunity to get a glimpse of some of the arcade games that were out at the time.
Now, one of the reasons why I like this show, Dean, not just because it featured these sort of computer games, but it is, I think it probably was one of the first shows to actually have computer games and bring them into our TV screens, because this is way before programs like Games Master or Bad Influence or any of those sort of things.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't remember any other show around this period of time that actually featured games.
No, I don't think there was anything around that time. The other probably closest thing was maybe, you know, you had Nightmare that started in 1987. That is obviously computer-generated graphics. It wasn't, you know, an arcade game or a computer game as such. I guess after that, the closest thing was some of the TV shows on a Saturday morning had phone-in games where you could control the game.
And so on.
Yeah, and Get Fresh had Xenon, I believe.
Did it?
Yeah, but we're talking, that's the later 80s, you know?
Right, okay.
So, yeah, for the mid-80s, this was definitely a first, and it was really enjoyable.
I'm going to tell you how it's going to be. With Scotch's lifetime guarantee. Tape what you want both night and day. Then re-record, not fade away. Re-record, not fade away. Re-record, not fade away.
Every recording as good as the first, or we'll give you a new tape. You can watch Scotch forever.
Why don't we move on to my favourite section of the whole show, which is Name the Game.
Name the Game.
Right, Dean. So, let me quickly explain to everyone what Name the Game is for those listeners that haven't heard this before. Now, we each take turns in this. Now, I think of a game, and Dean has to sort of, like, go through my mind and try and figure out what that game is. He asks questions and I can only answer in yes or no. If he does get stuck, I might feel sorry for him and give him a hint. And vice versa with Dean. So Dean, do you want to go first or shall I go first?
You go first, mate.
Right, Dean, what is the game?
Is it an arcade conversion? Is it a console release?
Nope.
Is it a Commodore game?
Yes.
Is it also on a Spectrum?
Yes.
Ooh. Is it a platform game?
Yeah.
I'm not going to get it this time. No, I'm not. I beat you last time.
Right, I didn't.
Is it Mission Impossible? No, Impossible Mission, even.
Nope.
Oh, just, what can it be?
So we've already established it's in, you know, on the ZX Spectrum and the Commodore. So most likely it's also on the Amstrad.
Right. 1985.
And it's a platforming type game.
Does it feature a superhero?
No.
Does it feature a miner?
No.
Not Jet Set Willy 2 then. God. Oh dear. I'm not gonna get it.
Do you wanna give up?
Yeah, go on in.
Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee. Yeah, sort of a superhero.
He's a martial artist. He's an actor.
Of course, Bruce Lee.
You know what?
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you didn't get it, because that basically makes us even for now.
For now, yeah. Okay, I've chosen my game.
All right, so let's see if I can guess it. Is it an arcade conversion?
No.
Is it an arcade game?
No.
Is it on the Spectrum?
It is.
Is it on the Amstrad and C64?
I am not sure.
Is it a platformer?
Sort of.
Does it scroll up?
It scrolls up. Yes.
Is it a two-player game?
No. It also scrolls from left to right. And down.
Does it feature a miner?
No.
So it's not an arcade conversion. It's not like a beat-em-up, is it?
It could be classed as a beat-em-up, yes. But...
is it based on a character on a TV show?
No.
Is it based on a kid's character?
No.
Based on a book?
No.
Has it got music?
There was title music.
It was title music, so there's no in-game music?
I don't think so.
Right, okay. Did you only get one life?
No.
Man, I'm trying to think what sort of game it was. So it's a Spectrum game, but it didn't come out in the arcades.
Yeah.
Was it multiplayer, did you say?
No, one player only.
One player? God. Could this game be finished?
Yes.
Was it a sequel?
No, but it did spawn a sequel.
Was it based off a character from ancient times or stories?
No.
Ah, oh, come on, people, help us out here.
There was no Commodore or Amstrad version either, I can confirm.
God, so it's just Spectrum only?
Mm.
It's a bit bizarre, because most games normally, well, went to all the machines. You know what? For the second week in a row, I'm going to have to hold up.
No, okay. I'll give you a clue. It was by Clive Townsend.
Clive Townsend?
Hmm.
I'm not going to cheat and Google it.
That is if you would do such a thing.
You know what? I'm going to have to hold up my hands and go, I don't know. What game was it?
Saboteur.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the ninja.
Yeah, I should have thought, you know, we've talked about ninjas all most of the show.
Yeah.
All right then, guys. So this time, it's the first time it's happened that neither Dean or myself have got the name of the game. So find out if we get to regain sort of, you know, our skill in the next episode. Why don't we move on to the iTunes reviews?
Cool. Let me grab my phone.
Right, we've got absolutely loads of iTunes reviews. Absolutely loads. Now, I think we've got a total of 48 reviews now. Well, technically we've got 49, but one of the people accidentally left two reviews instead of one.
Right, okay. The first one we've got is from the Stick 999.
Right, so why don't you read his review then, mates?
Am I going to do this in a silly voice, or...?
I don't know. Should we just read it in a normal voice this time round?
Yeah, we'll just do it normal. Okay. Right,
so why don't you tell us then what the Stick left us then, mate?
Says, quality podcasts. I don't usually listen to podcasts, but these guys really know what they're talking about, and the podcasts are funny or nostalgic. Top stuff, fellas.
Now, this next iTunes review is by Phil Burton. It's a 5-star review. He put, retro goodness, great for my retro fix.
Nice and short. Right, the next one is by Sam 6666 and a load of T's. I'm not going to claim how many there is there. Says, an idea. Amazing podcast. I'm totally hooked. Just an idea, but how about a top 20 Oceans games? There are lots of classics and would make a great podcast. Could even have a winner like an 8-bit Wars and an overall winning game and platform at the end.
Briefly talking about that, me and you have been thinking about redoing the 8-bit Wars and not just having me in it, but we'll have more people in it, and that's going to be the new 8-bit Wars. It's just actually finding the time to do them, but yeah, I think it's something we will do somewhere down the line.
Yeah, definitely, because this is, you know, it's a great series. It was a great idea by Mr. Andy Goodoy, so yeah, it's definitely something we'd like to bring back.
All right, mate, so let's move on to the next 5-star iTunes review, which is by Sir Stan. He put, fantastic podcast. This podcast has a serious effect on me. I found myself scanning eBay for retro consoles and yearning for the ZX Spectrum days. I've been asking people at work if they have old consoles knocking about. I think these guys are responsible for my midlife crisis. I'm buying a Nintendo 64 for my workmate tomorrow. Let the retro goodness begin.
That's a great one. Right, next one. Retro goodness that can. Can what? This is by Retro Shaman. Finally get to give my review after listening to the guys since day one. Sorry guys, better late than never. If you have the slightest interest in retro gaming, either a new one or from your childhood, then this is the podcast for you. Entertaining, enjoyable and varied. Really feels as if you're just with mates talking about the good old days of gaming. Check out the forum also. Friendly and informative. Can't pick these guys up enough. Pure greatness.
Right, we've got another 5-star iTunes review by Jack Marshall, who has a retro gaming podcast called Retrograde. Now, he put, great podcast, guys. Keep up the good work.
Right, next one. PSJ3809. Great podcast. Really good podcast. New episodes often. Best retro podcast I've heard. The guys know their stuff, enjoying hearing their opinion and trying to work out some of the games they mention. Good stuff.
Right, we've got another 5-star iTunes review, and that's by Glant Eater. And it's another 5 stars. Firstly, well done to Andy, Glenn and Swaney for all the hard work that makes this podcast something to look forward to. Love the enthusiasm. It's so infectious. Keep up the good work.
Okay, right. Did you want to read this big long one?
No, you can do it.
Oh, cheers. You get. Right.
It's a great review.
It is a great review. Right. This is by TMC/Retro. Naturals. Their words will make you feel like the golden age once more. Okay, this says, I have been listening to retro gaming podcasts for literally years now. I've loved some. Others not so much, but have tried them all. This podcast, AAA material, right up there. It has its own unique angle. Rather than simply dry anecdotes from game development and the history of the industry, this podcast casts its warm focus on human consumer side of games. How they made you feel, the emotion, the excitement and the love. The hosts must either be very skilled or very natural, because they achieve what is so difficult and I can't even read. Unappreciated in broadcasting. This is the ability to connect with both the subject and the listener. These guys have such a warm and obvious love for gaming, along with the ability to convey that over the microphone in an yet professional manner. I'm so not. All whilst keeping a flow of the podcast. Word also about the sublime editing. It is a constant...
Consistent
even. I think you should read this one out.
All right. Go for it. It is a consistent with the overall feel of the podcast, not overworked, and you hardly know it's there. But look harder, and you can see all the hard work of editing integrity at play, which you'll notice once I edit this podcast.
I've got to ask, did you send that last one in?
No, it weren't me. Soundtracks drift in and out, leading the listener. Conversation is quite nicely paced with questions and personal antidotes dropped in with a touch of a feather. This effortless style is so accomplished. These guys had me feeling like I was really welcome into the fold to come and listen to them talk about the subject they love. They seem genuine nice guys, listening to and enhancing each other's tales rather than talking over or against each other. If other podcasts open the page of gaming history, then this podcast goes further, allowing you to pull back the curtain of time and literally feel the golden age of gaming in your heart once more. Thank you. Thank you, mate.
Yeah, well, thank you. That was a very nice review, and I'm sorry I messed reading it out so much.
No problem. So technically, Dean, we've got 49, but have we got 48? Because TMC Retro did the review twice.
Yeah, no, I'd say it's 48.
48, yeah. Okay. So we've got 48 reviews. We need two more to take it to 50. Please leave us an iTunes review. You can win an Amiga 500, which will be announced on episode 25, which is when, Dean?
It is the gods, what am I like? 26th of October.
Yay. So 26th of October, you've got, you know, that's when you'll find out who the winner is. And you got any thanks, Dean?
I'd like to thank everyone for listening and putting up with the way I've been this episode, because I don't know what I can get into the swing of it. I'd just like to thank our sponsors.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you tell us who those sponsors are again then, please, mate?
That is Damien and Darren, in Danger Mice, and Darren, our forum moderator.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Damien as well. Check out his site, endangermice.co.uk, for all the latest news and updates on the Starquake remake. Check out endangermice.co.uk. Big special thanks to Darren as well. Both these guys contributed towards the show, so they've basically paid for this month and next month's podcasting fees. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, that is really nice.
Yeah, big thanks to Retro Resistance, Buzz Bop, Scopey, Retro Darren, and all our other Retro Maniacs on the forum. Please pay us a visit at RetroAsylum.com, and we'll see you at Replay. Goodbye, guys.
See you soon, boys.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, mate. You know what happens, and it's not her fault. My wife's come back, and it just, as soon as she walked through the door, it's put me off.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I've got a cat sitting on my shoulder. Let's see how good I am at editing.
Oh, I'll see, because you're going to have some hard work.
Before we get into what you've been up to, mate, let's quickly tell everyone how the show's
going. And it's cut out.
Huh?
Can you hear me?
Nope. I can hear you now.
All right, yeah, there's an internet connection problem. Oh, this is going to go well.
All right, so what's the next section then, Dean?
The next section, it would help if I had my email open.
All right.
No worries. I'd like to thank...
I'd like to thank... Sorry. See, that review doesn't know what he's talking about, so I keep going over you.
You still there, Dean?
Yeah, sorry, mate. My wife walks in and making loads of noise.
All right, not okay, mate. So let me read the next one. It's another five-star iTunes review, which is by Jark Marshmallow. I'll start that again. We've got another five-star iTunes review by Jark... I can't even speak, Dean. All right, we'll do it again.
What's this? Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, Dean. It's just annoying. It keeps on calling me.
He's got it.
I just said to him, he's just like, stop calling. I'm recording a podcast. Round up that section you were just doing there, Dean, about the game you're talking about.
It was your game we were talking about, couldn't it?
Oh, God. Fucking hell.
Alright, mate. Cheers again. You take it easy.